Well, good evening all tonight. We'll make a start just to our prayer meeting. Has anybody got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 96, the hymn number 96 in your hymn book, number 96. Number 96 and the page 215. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain, I can give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. We'll sing the first and then we'll sing the last verse, keeping our seats while we sing number 96, great old gospel hymn, reminding us of our acceptance with God through the blood of Christ. And we'll sing verse 1 and verse 5, just keeping our seats while we sing number 96. Favourite from this side here, my left. 205 in your hymn book, 205. It's in the page 259. Not have I gotten, but what I've received, grace have bestowed it since I have believed. We'll sing the first two verses along with the chorus. Verses 1 and 2 along with the chorus, 205, just keeping our seats while we sing. the far side. 329 in your hymn book. 300, and is that right? Oh, 339, sorry, my apology. 339 in your hymn book. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Saviour I met. We'll sing the first and the last verse, keeping our seats, 339, along with the chorus, verses 1 and 3, remaining seated while we sing. We'll make it our opening hymn tonight, the hymn number 300, on the page 297. My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground where life and where joy and through comfort abound. 300's the hymn number. We'll stand this time as we sing and keep up the good singing and singing it out to the glory of the Lord. 300's the hymn number, standing as we sing. Thank you. just look to the Lord in prayer, praying for the Lord's help and blessing, and that his presence will be our blessed portion tonight. Our Father and our God, we gather, Lord, before thee this evening, and we come in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, our surety, the one who died for us, the Lamb slain from before the very foundation of the world, the one who died, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank that for that once for all, a sacrifice for sin. And we rejoice, O God, that it is a powerful sacrifice. We thank thee, O God, that it is eternal in its efficacy. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight that we're accepted in and through the Lamb of God. We confess, O God, our unworthiness in and of ourselves. We confess, Lord, that we have nothing to present before thee. Yet, O God, we rejoice tonight in the Word of God that tells us that we are accepted in the Beloved. And, O God, our Father, as we come before thee tonight, we pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood. Create within us, Lord, that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. And prepare our hearts this night to meet with thee. And help us, Lord, by thy grace and spirit and power, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, tonight that the words of our lips and the thoughts of our heart will be acceptable, Lord, in thy sight. Lord, we ask for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us with power. Lord, you have said in thy word that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And Lord, we would ask that thou would breathe upon us tonight from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and grant us now a time of Pentecost, O God, we pray. We thank thee tonight for all who have been able to gather. We thank thee for every head bowed before thee, every family represented. Meet the need of our hearts and our lives and our souls tonight. Bless us around thy word. Teach us thy way and give us grace to walk in the ways of the Lord, and help us, Lord, and we come to pray. Give us, Lord, that enablement, that spirit of prayer and supplication that comes, Lord, from thyself, to seek thee and to call upon thy name. Bless our homes and our families, O God. Unite each one in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask of thee. And for those unable to join with us tonight because of age, sickness, and infirmity, Lord, bless them, minister to them. Lord, those who mourn and grieve, Lord, comfort their hearts. Lord, those who may be off on holiday at this time, grant them a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And for those, Lord, even who would listen in tonight online, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found, Lord, bless them and minister to the needs of their hearts through thy word and through thy truth. Heavenly Father, again we give thee thanks for thy presence and blessing with this last Lord's Day, and all whom thou didst bring in unto the sound of thy word. And Father, we pray that while man's voice is silent, Lord, that thou wilt speak on even unto salvation. We think of many connected with us here who know not the Lord as Savior, perhaps connected with our church for many years. We pray that, Lord, they might soon come and trust in the Lord and know the wonderful joy of sins forgiven, we ask. Remember our land tonight for good, and wherever thy people meet faithfully around thy word, in prayer meetings and in Bible conferences, Lord, and in gospel missions at this time, Lord, bless every faithful endeavor. We think of the many endeavors as well in the open air to reach boys and girls and children with the gospel over the summer season. And Father, we just pray that thou will bless this ministry in a mighty way across our land, our nation tonight. And let, Lord, there might be a turning in the hearts of many, even unto the Lord. So, Father, bless us now tonight. Do our hearts much good, we pray. And may we go home tonight rejoicing in the presence and in the blessing of the Lord, that blessing that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. For any, Lord, tonight who may be cast down, we pray that thou would lift them up, thou who art the lifter up of thy people.
and that we might be strengthened, Lord, with might by thy Spirit, O God, in the inner man. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. And we're just reading from the verse number 9 of the chapter, going down to the end. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, beginning a reading at the verse number 9. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all gathered with us here tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Welcome those who may be joining online as well. Do remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday morning, 11 a.m., the open-air gospel witness in the square. Pray for that, our brother Colin and myself. And then remember the barbecue as well on Friday night, meeting at Castle Archdale at 7:30. Pray for that, that we have a good night of fellowship together on that occasion. And then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. In the will of the Lord, we belong to minister God's Word. Pray for the meetings. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's precious Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse number 9. Here we have Paul continuing to write to the believers in Thessalonica. And he says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you? And for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Amen. Ending a reading there in verse 13, and may the Lord bless this reading of his holy and infallible word to our hearts tonight. The little text of Scripture we want to base our message upon tonight are the opening words there of verse number 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where it says, "Night and day praying exceedingly." Now, 1 Thessalonians 3 tells us of Paul's concern for the Christian believers in Thessalonica. His concern was seen in the fact that he sends Timothy to them to minister the word of God among them. But his concern is also seen in the fact that he prays for them. And we're told of this in our text here tonight in verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where he says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face." He prays for them. Such is his concern and his burden for these Christians in Thessalonica. Now, prayer for others is one of the best ways that any believer can show their regard for others. And indeed, throughout the Bible, the Scriptures, there are many examples and there are many encouragements to God's people to pray for others. And one of those great Old Testament examples is in the life of Samuel. And why he was noted in particular for his praying for the people of God. On one occasion he said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." And my, he knew that he would sin against the Lord than if he ceased to pray for the people of God. Again, think of the prophet Isaiah speaking to the Lord and praying for God's ancient people, Israel. He said, "Be thou their arm every morning." And there he was praying that the Lord would strengthen his people. And again, we have the same over in the New Testament, and there are many examples in the New Testament church. Think of that time when Peter was put in prison. What did the church do? They prayed for him. The Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They besought the Lord for Peter and for his deliverance and his release from captivity. And there are many more examples we could mention also tonight if time permitted. And here in these final verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we have record really of one of Paul's prayers for the Thessalonian church. He is praying here for them. And people, can I say, this is still God's plan for his people in this 21st century. Yes, as believers in Christ, we are to pray for others. Intercessory prayer for others is to be a marker of our life, a part of our witness. It is to be our work as Christians until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or until he calls us home to heaven itself. The Bible says that you and I are to pray one for another. And Paul's prayer here for the Thessalonian church is really an example for us all to follow in our praying for others. And we would consider briefly tonight Paul's prayer on this occasion. There are three things just I want you to notice regarding this prayer. Notice first of all here how Paul, he prayed for an advancement of the faith of the Thessalonian believers. He prayed for an advancement of their faith. And you see that in verse 10 of the chapter. He says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and note the words and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Yes, Paul here was praying that he'd be able to minister God's word among this people. What for? So that their faith would advance. So that their faith would grow and increase. He says there at the end of verse number 10, he says, and might perfect, he says, that which is lacking in your faith. He was praying here for an advancing, a going forward of their faith as Christians. That word perfect there in the verse, it really means to furnish. It also has the meaning of to adjust, or if you like, to mend, or to fit out. Now, if you're out in the car and you have the radio on and you adjust it, maybe the signal isn't good and you adjust it, you set it to another frequency or whatever, the sound in your radio, what happens? It becomes more clear. The sound in your radio becomes stronger. And Paul here was really praying that the faith of these Christians would become clear, that their faith would become stronger, that their faith would increase. And God answered this prayer. Turn over the page just in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse number 3. Look at what he says there about them. And this is something he thanks God for, this direct answer to this prayer. He says in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Notice it. Because your faith, notice it, groweth exceedingly. There was a going forward, a growing, a strengthening, an advancing of their faith. And as it was important for the faith of the Thessalonian Christians to advance, so this is vital for us also as Christians. You know, there are some people and they think that once they get saved, that that's all that really the Christian life involves. And that, yes, is the beginning of the Christian life, but it is only the beginning. From salvation, the believer, once he or she is saved, the believer is to go forward. They are to grow and to advance in their faith. And the Bible says to you and I as Christians, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Christian, this is God's will for your life and for my life, that we increase, that we strengthen our faith, so to speak, that there's that lengthening of the cords, that strengthening, as it were, of the stakes of our faith as believers. And God shows us in his word that he has certain ways in particular and certain means for our faith to grow as Christians. His word has been given to us to help us grow in our faith. You remember what Peter said to the believers of his day? He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. God gave the word for his people to grow in their faith. And if we are to grow in our faith then as Christians, we must spend time in the word of God. That is vital. We must take time to read the scriptures for ourselves, to meditate upon the word of God, to listen to the preaching of the word of God, and to obey the word of God as God speaks to us from the Bible. And then God also can strengthen our faith through prayer, through seeking him. In the book of Isaiah it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That speaks of prayer and our strength, our faith being renewed and revitalized and increased through prayer. Indeed, for our faith to grow, prayer must be a must, as it were, in our lives as Christians. That means private prayer. And the public prayer time, the public prayer meeting is also vital for us as believers to grow in our faith. The hymn writer says, prayer gives exercise to faith and love. Then also trials, they too strengthen our faith. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And look with me there at verse number 7. Look at what it says. And here Peter, as it were, outlines this truth that trials strengthen the believer's faith. It's very interesting to note that the believers in Thessalonica were going through a time of trial. But it didn't dampen their faith, it strengthened their faith. Here we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My, this is one of the great blessings that the trials bring to our life. They bring to us blessings, and we might maybe find that difficult to understand and comprehend at times, but God allows trials to come our way as Christians to help strengthen our faith. And Peter really alludes to this here. He talks about the faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth. My, whenever gold has been fashioned, it is heated in the smelting furnace. What for? To have its impurities removed and the dross removed so that gold is pure and stronger. Likewise, God, he uses trials to purify and to strengthen our faith as Christians. Think of the words of Job. He said of the Lord, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, believer, tonight as we pray daily, for ourselves, daily for others, let us ask God, as it were, to strengthen our faith, to purify our faith. May this be the constant prayer of our hearts as God's people for our fellow believers in the Lord, that there'll be that advancing, strengthening, prospering, going forward of our faith. Yes, Paul, he prayed here for the advancement of the faith of the Thessalonian believers. But notice something else that he prays for here. In the second place, we can say Paul, he prayed for an advancement in the love of the Thessalonian believers. Look at what he prays in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, and the Lord make you, he says, to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. He was praying there for an advancement of that Christian love within their heart and life and witness as God's people. Now, whenever God's people suffer or go through times of trial, the effect can be really one of two ways. In times of suffering, yes, God's people can become very inward in their thinking. The result is they shut themselves off from others and from other things around them. And then on the other hand, the effect can be that in suffering times, the believer is drawn closer to the Lord. Not only are they drawn closer to the Lord, but they also reach out in a far greater way than they've done before to help and to encourage others also in the battles and in the trials of life. And friends, this was Paul's prayer and burden for the Thessalonian believers and Christians. He prayed that in their suffering and in their afflictions and in their trials, that their love, their compassion, their charity to others would increase, that it would prosper, that it would grow, that it would, as it were, run over the wall. He was praying that they would be a church that would be large-hearted to the needs of others around them in their day and generation. And again, God answered this prayer. You turn over again to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and to verse number 3, and you'll see there reference being made to this prayer being answered. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly." And then notice the final statement in the verse. "And the charity," he says, "of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." There was this abounding, this going forward, this growing of Christian charity amongst them, even in their afflictions and in their trials and time of persecution. And brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say, yes, this is God's will for us also as a church. Whatever our condition, whatever our circumstances and life be as Christians, we are to be a large-hearted people, a people reaching out to others in need with Christian love and charity and Christian compassion. This is God's will and purpose for His church here on earth. You remember the words of Christ to His disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 11. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And He went on to say, "By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples." This was a mark of their discipleship as believers. Think of the hymn that we often love to sing. The hymn writer says, "I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all." And believer, this should be our constant prayer for ourselves as God's people. And daily as we pray for ourselves and pray for one another, yes, let us pray that our love for God, our love for His work, and our love for His day would increase and strengthen. Let us pray also that our love for God's people would grow and increase and strengthen. Let us pray also that our love for lost, perishing sinners would also advance and increase and prosper and, as it were, be strengthened. Turn in your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you look at the opening verses of this chapter. Here God's Word tells us that if we have not Christian charity, no matter what else we might seek to do or profess, we're told here that it is all vain, that it is all empty. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity," he says, "it profiteth me nothing." And there Paul reminds us, despite all our gifts and our abilities and all that we might as well do outwardly in the Christian life, he says, if we have not charity, it profiteth nothing. In other words, it's vain. It's empty in and of ourselves. You think of a happy and a blessed marriage. It's a husband, yes, and a wife, and their love for each other growing and advancing over the years and all the midst of all the ups and downs and trials of married life and family life. And that is really how it is to be with ourselves also as believers in Christ and all the ups and downs of life. God's will is that our charity, our compassion, grows, that increases, that it strengthens and is prospered by the Lord.
You remember again the counsel of Peter to God's people. He says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
You think of the mark of the world as the complete opposite to Christian love and charity and compassion. And the Bible tells us one of the marks of the end times is that the love of many shall wax cold. And how we are to be ever so careful as God's people that that spirit does not rub off upon our hearts and souls also as the people of God. He prayed for an advancement in their faith, an advancement in their Christian charity. Notice something else that he prays for here. Paul also prayed for an advancement of holiness in the life of these Thessalonian believers. Go down to the very last verse of the chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, to the end that he, that's the Lord, may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He prayed for an advancement of holiness in their lives as Christians. And what is holiness? Holiness really means a life of separation. Life of separation from the ungodly ways, the ungodly spirit of this world. It means, yes, a life of obedience to God, his word, his will. It means a life lived out on earth to the glory of God. And this was God's plan for the Thessalonian church, and this is still God's plan for his church today. Though in the world, you and I as believers, we are not to be like the world. It was Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, who said that holiness is the great fundamental law of our religion. It's to be the mark of the Christian and the mark of the Christian church. Holiness unto the Lord, says the Scriptures. Turning your Bible over there to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And look at what Peter says here to the Christian, to you and I who are saved, to the church of Christ for today. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation really speaks of the manner of our life. Because it is written, that's the Lord's word, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's how God wants you and I to live as Christians, in our homes, in our places of employment, in our neighborhood, in our society, and in the church family. Why we're not to live as we once live in our unconverted state? No, we're to live holy lives to the glory of the Lord. And that really leads us really to a very important question. As Christians, how can we live holy lives in this world for God's honor and glory? Well, we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it, as it were, by our own grit and determination, by gritting our teeth, so to speak, and having that determination, that stoic spirit, as it were, of the natural man, for we will but surely fail. We cannot do it in our own strength, no. Ever, dear people, by God's grace, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts and lives, you and I, wherever we are in the will of the Lord, can be enabled to live out God's word, to live out holy lives for God's honor and God's glory. Not through our strength, we'll surely fail, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God that is always sufficient, now we can live for God's honor and glory. Turn in your Bible over there to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And look there at verse number 4 of the chapter. And here John is writing to Christians, to those who were young in the faith, those who had come to the Lord in the early New Testament church. Look at what he says in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's the spirit of the world, the spirit of Antichrist. Notice how? Because greater, he says, is he. That's the Lord, the Holy Spirit. he that is in you than he that is in the world. What was it that made them overcomers? It wasn't themselves. It was the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the grace of God in their hearts and lives as God's people that made them overcomers. Turn over to the little book of Jude, the second last book of the Bible, just before the book of Revelation. Notice how Jude concludes that epistle as he writes to God's people living in ungodly days. Verse 24 of the epistle of Jude, he speaks of the Lord. He glorifies the Lord. And he says, now unto him, that's the Lord, that is able, notice it, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And believer, mark those verses in your Bible. The Lord who has saved you is able to keep you. He is able to help you. He is able to strengthen you. The Lord just doesn't save us and then leave us as orphans to make it to heaven in our own strength. No, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake. And that means I will never, never leave thee no matter what happens. And thus the writer could go on to say, I will not fear, the Lord is my helper. Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And believer, the Lord is all the grace and he's all the strength that you and I need so that we can honor the Lord, whatever our circumstances, whatever our situation is in life. Therefore, in praying for ourselves and praying for one another as believers in our church here and further afield, let us pray that God, by his grace, by his Holy Spirit, would equip us and enable us to live a holy life to God's honor, to God's glory in this ungodly world day by day. May God write his word and bless these thoughts to our hearts and souls. Well, let me just turn again in our hymn book to hymn number 408. And before we get down to prayer, 408 in your hymn book, near, still near, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven I rest. We're going to sing the first verse and the last verse. We'll stand as we sing 408, verse 1 and verse 4, and making that the prayer of our hearts tonight. 408, verses 1 and 4, standing to sing. We just get down to a time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, and as we've often said, let there be no gaps. Pray one with another, one for another, and help each other and uphold each other in the time of prayer, right through to about 20 or 25 past 9 as the Lord
leads. Remember, please, the services. Remember the open-air witness, the Children's Day coming up in a few weeks' time, 2 weeks' time. Remember the Children's Mission, Tresna, Mybroan, Maguire's Bridge, Lisbalaw, 2 in June and 2 in July. Remember the online ministry and the convention. Pray for the outreach, the door-to-door outreach. Yesterday, the village of Lisnarrick was visited with a tract and a gospel booklet. So pray that God will bless the seed sown there. Remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad. Maybe you could remember God's people in Nepal and China. There's much persecution there against God's people and the Church of Christ. Pray the Lord will strengthen them. Remember the sick also in your prayers at this time. Brother Mr. Harry Walker, remember him especially in your prayers in the home. And Ian Dane is also ill in hospital. And then also do pray for the wife of the Reverend Stephen Hamilton, who ministers over in Allentown in Pennsylvania, one of her ministers. His wife is very ill. She's in hospice, and her time on earth would appear to be drawn to a close. Just pray that the Lord will draw near to that family and give them great comfort and help and strength. Remember also our sister Anna Maria McDonald, who used to fellowship with us here, they now moved further on down the south, but her father passed away in recent days. Pray for her and the family that they know the Lord's comfort. And remember our land and all of its need, that God would stem the tide of iniquity and ungodliness that is stalking our land. There might be a turning and revival unto the Lord. We encourage you all to pray, and let us use the time that the Lord has given us tonight. And remember,